Hi, it's Jim Baekje, and the podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. The world is changing at a rapid rate, and I don't know about you, but, you know, in our household, my wife is American, and her family lives in the States, so they have had this tradition where they have had probably close to 90 to 100 people for Thanksgiving dinner. Every year they have a big football game and a tented dinner. And I think this has been going on for 50 years and maybe 54 or 55. Don't anybody hold me to the date. It's really a beautiful affair. We've been to it many, many times. It's multi-generational. The football game's a blast. We all head back to my in-law's place for a fantastic dinner and award ceremony and just camaraderie with family and friends, like none other that I've sort of seen. And they're in the midst of, okay, so we're not going to be able to do that. What will we be able to do? How will we be able to go about it? And it sort of led me to thinking about, you know, we're having the same sort of conversation here in our family. You know, I've got six kids, three of them are married, two are in London, so they're not going to be able to come home. But underlying it sort of all, and my producer, Katie, and I were just talking about this, is there's this feeling lately, and I don't know if you have it, but I have it, that sort of says, I don't really need anything. I don't need more shirts. I don't need more suits. And I was talking to my friend Wayne Deans about this the other day, too. There's been a real feeling of, I'm really lucky to have my health. I'm really lucky to have my family close to me and being able to interact with them. And I think there's really been kind of a reckoning amongst people. I know there has by myself as well. And sort of like, I don't really need anything. On October 21st, my wife and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. And so for all of you naysayers that said it would never last, there you go, 25 years. And hopefully we'll get to another 25 years. It's quite a milestone. And, you know, we were sort of last night, what are we going to do? It's just going to be the two of us, you know. In another time period, we probably would have went and spent thousands of dollars and gone somewhere to celebrate it. But instead, last night, we just went and had a lovely dinner. We had a bunch of champagne. We kind of had some sort of memory stories about different places we'd lived. And it was just a lovely evening. And I sort of thought, you know, we can do with less. And we can actually prove to ourselves that we can do with less. And even when we were talking about, okay, what are we going to get the kids for Christmas and everything else, everybody's kind of like, you know, I don't really need anything. There's nothing I really need. And so maybe 50 years of commercialism as a byproduct of what's happening is slowly getting unraveled. Maybe people with the recognition of what is really important as we get further and further into this, the world has been built on a consumer society. If all of a sudden we take the consumer out, it has further ramifications and implications that are far too dire to talk about today. But, you know, I was coming back. I had to drop off my car this morning. I was sort of decided to walk back and came back through the underground here in Toronto. And it was eerie. It was frightening. I mean, 90% of the stores are boarded up. The other ones have no customers in them. And I think all of that is creating an environment for us where we're really getting to the important things in life, our friends, our family, and, you know, just that ability to have them around us is probably more important than any present I could possibly get. I don't need more shirts, shoes, or anything else. What I really do need is my family. I think people are realizing that more and more and more. And that's a good thing. And I try to look at the glasses half full in that, what are the benefits that are being created as a result of this pandemic that we're in? And how do we keep our eyes on the things that are making us better? How do we keep our eyes on the things that help us, that enhance us, and just keep focusing on that picture of constantly looking at the terrible situation that we're in, How do we make it better for ourselves? How do we make it better for family? And at the core, what is really, really great for us? Switching completely to a separate subject, and I kind of touched on about this a couple of times about people at work today, and Katie and I were talking about it earlier, and we're talking about her boyfriend who got a call from his boss and said, I need to talk to you. And as the conversation progressed, he said, you know, I'm going to have a lot more work. You're going to have to really, you know, kick it up here and everything else. And it sort of popped into my head. All our lives, we've had boundaries built for us. Academic boundaries, you go to school at this time, you take your lunch at this time, work, you know, we start at 9, you're allowed a break at 10, but we've lost those boundaries. And as I've touched on this before, but I think it's even more relevant today, is we need as individuals to make sure that our organizations know that we have boundaries, right? That our entire 24-hour day doesn't belong to them. Some flexibility is important, but you can't see my time as owning 24 hours of it, because people have their lives to run. You know, I mean, God knows the most difficult people that are working at home are those that have to take care of young children, in addition to doing their job as well, or in some cases, taking care of their aging parents and things like that. So I think the onus about setting boundaries in our workplace really comes to us. And I don't think corporations are overloading us because they're taking advantage of the situation. But once again, people just don't know what they don't know. And so we have to help them. So we have to start looking at our days and thinking about our boundaries. And I don't mean like, oh, I get my lunch from 12 to 1. You know, what's more important is the actual length of the day. And because, as I've seen with many of the people that I coach, they're running into 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night in some cases. They're still on calls. They're still doing things. And they may or may not have been before, but at least before they had a break to be able to go home, and they might make a call, but they weren't doing it every single night. So my advice to you is think about your day and how you would set boundaries around it and how you would make sure that you put the parts in to keep you refreshed and keep you thinking. And also keeping your brain stimulated in ways that you may have before, you know, whether it's reading books, listening to audio books, whatever it might be that you would have done before, build those back into your routine so that you can create this structured life in this very unstructured world. Because we all need structure. We need some structure. You just can't have complete loose ends. You know, that takes us on the verge of anarchy, but we need some structure. And so we all need to sort of rebuild it. And part of rebuilding it is talking with the people that you work with, sort of say, hey, listen, you know, I know this thing's kind of gone without boundaries and gone without edges, but we need to harness this thing a bit, right? I'm just not as productive when I'm running on, you know, 10, 12 hours a day doing work and stuff like that. I need a separation of church and state, and I need time for me. I need time for me to recharge. I need time for me to reboot myself and feel fresh. And because that ability that we've lost, that interaction that we're getting all of the freshness from and the encouragement from, we've lost it. We're at home. So we've got to rebuild it. We've got to rethink about it. We got to figure out how do we create a schedule for ourselves in a world that's basically evaporated from that it was already there. So completely non sequitur, my producer Katie and I decided that we would take my book True Fit and put it on audio. And instead of hiring an actor to read the book, I decided to do it myself. Some of you might say, what a mistake, but I've had a lot of encouragement to people that like listening to my voice. So I decided to do it myself. And so I thought I'd share some experience of it. It may have been one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. It was 2 4-hour sessions. in a recording studio with a lovely gentleman named Ashton. He was incredibly helpful. But I mean, when I went there, I don't normally get nervous. I was nervous. I was very, very self-conscious. And I wouldn't say that I'm the greatest reader in life, but I wanted the story to come through in my words. And many people that have read the book, True Fit, it's often said to me, those that know me, they said, you know, as I was reading the book, I could hear your voice and I could really feel like you were talking to me personally. And so that message kind of kept getting repeated. But, you know, when you have to read, stop at every comma, stop at every period, not run on words, you know, not turn singular words into plural or possessive or whatever. It was really, really hard. But as I went through the book, I realized how many people's lives since I did the book have been changed in having gone through the process of doing the infomercial that I talk about in my book, True Fit. And as I read the stories of those that had been kind enough to let me share their stories, in fact, I didn't share it, they shared it themselves. And as I was reading those stories, I was sort of reminded about each of the people and how they came to me and where they were in that stage. And then last week, I talked about a young woman who now is looking at 5, 6, 7 different job offers. And there was another young gentleman that I was talking to the other day, and we were talking about the audiobook. And he was telling me about he had 5 or 6 live opportunities going on, some in London, some in New York. And I couldn't help but feel like a proud papa in a certain way, even though we're not related, because when I listened to him talk about himself, the way he sounded, the clarity of his own message, he actually turned down a job. You can imagine that in this day and age. He actually turned down a job because he said to me, you know, it's not the right fit for me. It's an interesting job, but it's not the right fit for me. And then how he talked about the process of all of the other jobs. I mean, like, first of all, make no mistake about it. He worked his ass off getting his infomercial out to people. I think he contacted over 275 people in the span of the last year. But the most important thing is that he had a clear message about himself, who exactly what he was, what people should pay him for, the kind of people he works best with, how he resolves conflict, and what's a perfect day. That message, that clarity of message, resonated where it should and bounced back like a positive and a negative, boom, against each other. Or I guess it's a negative and a negative, or a positive and a positive. It's not a positive and negative. Whatever, you know what I mean. And as he was talking about each of the job opportunities, his clarity and the way he was talking about himself in relation to the job, it wasn't like, oh God, I hope I get this one. You know, it was like, okay, so I've stacked them up. This is the best fit for me. And this is the best opportunity. And this is the job that utilizes the most of my skills. The next one is just as good a fit, just as good an opportunity, but it doesn't utilize as much of my skills, and sort of so on and so on and so on. Never talked about money. Never talked about money. I suspect they're all within the same sort of bandwidth. But he realized that the importance of the process was to find the right fit. And if you find the right fit and you're doing what you're good at, you're going to be successful. And so I'm really glad I did the audiobook, because it sort of gave me that chance to stand back and listen to all those people that I'd worked with. And my life's mission is, if you've been listening to my podcast for a while or just a new listener, you know my life's mission is to help people find themselves. There's nothing more satisfying to me than listening to this young man who's, you know, late 30s, early 40s, the way he sounded in January when we had a drink and the way he sounds today. It's just a difference in confidence, and it's a difference in approach. And when you believe the story you tell about yourself to be accurate, you tell it with such conviction. And the clarity of thought and the clarity of view is just so paramount. And yet, I still see so many people who are afraid. And every new person that I coach is afraid. Last week, you know, Charles and I were talking about the dominant factor in our brain being fear, right? Fear to let go, fear to try something. So sorry for that run on, but it was an interesting. We're shooting to have the audio book ready before Christmas, but if not before Christmas, we'll have it in January. New Year's resolutions will be interesting this year, but maybe we'll save that for another time, for another topic. What's the difference in New Year's resolutions this year over previous years? But if you're thinking about your job, and as many people are, and you're thinking about how do I prepare in the event that I get laid off, pick up the book, True Fit, How to Find the Right Job by Being You. Go through it. And if you want, send me an email with your infomercial and I'll take a look at it and take a crack at it and kind of trim it up, cut it down, lift it up and send it back to you. But everybody in the world has to have an infomercial. An infomercial gives you the strength and confidence in yourself to say, this is who I am. This is what I'm good at. These are the kind of people I work best with. This is how I resolve conflict. And this is a perfect day because all of us should be working in a perfect day. We're utilizing our best skills for the majority of the time that we're at work. Thanks for listening to me rabble on today. Podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust.